Okay. And the third thing?
The third thing is Gold Rush.
Okay.
Now, have you ever seen this show? It's on the Discovery Channel.
Oh, is this the thing where there's, like, prospectors and they're trying to look for gold?
Yeah, and they're kind of bumbling idiots.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, they're prospectors.
Right. So it's in season two right now. I think it's almost over. I'm not sure how many episodes are left. But in season one, you followed, like, these main guys. I think the main guy's name is Todd, and then, like, his dad. And then, like, some of their friends who maybe have lost work, or they have some other reason that they agree to go and try to find gold in Alaska. And I couldn't even begin to sum up how stupid these people are. Well, that's mean. But how how inept they seem to be at finding gold. And okay. It seems to be a staple of the gold mining industry, at least with what it concerns these kind of amateurs or like smaller gold mining operations, that their equipment is ancient and falls apart all the time. And so
what kind of equipment are we talking about? Like,
we're talking about
are you talking about like actual machines?
Actual machines. So they have like bulldozers and cranes, and then or maybe not cranes. They have those really those big I don't know what they're called.
Like a backhoe?
Yeah, maybe they have a backhoe, but they have these machines that have like the really really high neck and then a bucket that you can scoop stuff with. So it's not like a bulldozer.
That's a backhoe.
Okay.
Which is like a bulldozer on one side and then like a scoop on the other side attached to a long like arm.
So they have these machines. And they will, I guess partly because of the terrain and the weather and the machines appear to be ancient, they are just constantly breaking down. And so they have to stop their operation and, like, figure out how to fix it.
I would imagine that one problem is that gold is really heavy. And so if you were to, like, fill up the arm of one of these backhoes with gold, it might break. Is that a problem they run into?
No, none of them are finding that much gold. So, basically they're clearing off a layer of, like, frozen ground. And depending on where they're mining, it's, like, deeper or shallower that they have to dig.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a couple of regions, sort of the ecosystems of the Earth, and I want you to tell me which place this, or which region this takes place in.
Okay.
So I'm thinking it's probably not, like, the deciduous region.
Isn't that a kind of tree?
No, okay. So maybe monocot or amoeba. Is that a region?
I don't think so.
Okay. No, okay. This is a real region. Arctic tundra? Is that one of the regions
I would say tundra is probably accurate, because it's like frozen ground.
Are there trees growing?
There are trees. It's so in Alaska.
So maybe like a permafrost situation?
Yeah, they have permafrost.
Okay. Like if you go down too far, the ground is always solid.
Yeah, but that's what they're trying to get to, because that's the bedrock, and that's where all of the gold is.
Or at least they hope there's gold there.
Yeah, pretty much. But they have to clear out all of this permafrost, and then as they're doing that, it melts, and it turns into mud, and then their machines, like, slip around, and can't get traction. And there's all kinds of problems that they run into.
Sure.
And I feel like I am an expert at this by now, having watched this for nearly two seasons. So eventually this will relate to the baby. So... We've been watching this show, and it's one of those things where it's really a train wreck that you just can't stop watching, because every single episode, their machinery breaks, or they... they also have these, like, wash plants, which look really sort of, like, homemade and, like, weird. But they feed all of the material they dig out through the wash plant, and then through a series of mechanisms that, like, divert large rocks out of the way and separate the gold from other sediment and stuff. Basically, all this stuff just washes down through the wash plant, and then they end up with gold stuck in this stuff called miner's moss, and then they have to take that stuff and go and run it through, like, a very much smaller wash plant to get the gold out. So, anyway, but they always make the wrong decision, it seems like. Like, they'll run their wash plant to the point that the part that's supposed to catch the gold gets, like, filled up too much, and the gold just runs out. And they don't seem to realize that they're doing this.
And this happens, like, every episode?
Things like that happen, like, pretty much every episode.
Not to interrupt you before your story is done, well, I am going to interrupt you, but... whenever I watch a reality television show, mm-hmm. the thing that I notice is that most of the time there's, like, one thing that happens in an episode, uh-huh. and they sort of, like, there's probably, like, maybe 8 minutes of, like, actual original content in that show, and the other 16 minutes are full of, like, just repeating, like, what happened, or maybe setting up what's about to happen. Do you ever worry that maybe all of these accidents or all these problems that they have are just, like, pre-recorded footage from, from, like, past shows?
I don't think it is, though.
You think that these people are just, like, really dumb?
I think that they just always make the wrong decision. Now, not all of them, but I will say, so in season two, they follow three different mining locations. Rather than just the one team of miners. But the one team that started the show and is in season two as well, they just have problem after problem after problem. And they've started to sort of spin this narrative in season two, where Todd, the main guy, every time he gives them, like, a pep talk, because often they're like, oh, you know, my family's back home and we're not making any money, and, you know, I don't know if I should still be here. And usually it's because they were expecting to get, like, 10 ounces of gold and they only got, like, 4 ounces of gold that day. So he has to give them all these, like, pep talks, and it's usually full of these, like, cliches, like, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and if we want it bad enough, we're gonna get it, you know. But he never has, like, practical steps for what they're going to do differently.
He's just sort of always, like, just sort of trying to fluff people.
Yeah, like, but he seems to really believe it. He thinks that...
He truly believes that when there's a will, there's a way.
Yes. And he that's truly...
that's going to somehow lead to getting 8 ounces instead of 4 ounces.
Yeah, and so he thinks that because it's their dream, right... it's our dream, that means they're going to succeed. And on nearly every time after he does one of these pep talks now on the show, the camera, this might be repeated footage, but the camera shows a waving flag, an American flag. And it's just so silly. So... anyway, so this is something I find amusing about the show, and when we watched the first season, and they really didn't succeed, they did not do well at all, and so I wasn't sure if I was going to watch season two, because I thought, like, you know, I've invested an hour a week for however many weeks watching these guys be idiots, and then there's no payoff. But in season two, they have added sort of like a rival guy who came in at the end of season one. He opens up his own... Actually, he kicks them out of the mine that they were on through a series of circumstances, which I won't get into.
Wait, sorry. I don't mean to to butt in here. You were sort of going to just talk right past the most interesting part of this, which is This is a reality program where a second prospector comes in and kicks the first prospectors out of their gold mine. I don't really want to know, like, the exact details of how it happens, but is it, like, a legal thing, or is it more of... Okay. So, like, maybe he, like, buys it up, like, out from under him or something?
Well, basically, like, they don't own the claim. Somebody owns the claim, and then they, I assume, pay some sort of fee and sign these contracts to come in and mine on the claim. And then it's probably some percentage of whatever they dig out that they have to give to the person who owns it.
Sure.
And so what happened between season one and season two is that this the person who owned the claim was upset that they weren't finding any gold because he wasn't going to get anything from them. So he brought in this guy, Dakota Fred, to come in and... Yeah.
Wait, is his first name Dakota and his last name is Fred?
No, it's a nickname. I think his name is Fred Hurt. But he's from one of the Dakotas, so they call him Dakota Fred.
Okay.
So he came in to sort of guide them because he had done some mining before and was a friend of the guy that owned the claim. So he came in to help them out. They all butted heads because they didn't like taking direction from this guy. And then when they came back for season two, thinking they were going to start digging immediately, he came in and had papers saying that the guy that owned the claim was now allowing him to mine on it and not them. And so they did not find that out until he showed up and told them that. So then they had to go find a new claim. And this was like all drama at the beginning of the season. So now they're following Todd's crew, Dakota Fred's crew, and then, which is like him and his son. and then there's this third mine, and this is how this relates to the baby, which I'll get to in a second. So there's a third mine that is called the Big Nugget Mine. And
a big nugget there once?
I don't know. Or maybe it's just an optimistic
sort of like,
name.
Yeah, they're hoping they're sort of like a where there's a will, there's a way.
Sure.
Sort of thing. It's like the dream is that there's a giant nugget of gold.
Yeah, and I think it had been a pretty successful mine for a while. It's been owned by the same like family for a long time. So the owner of this mine is like a 91 or 93-year-old guy. And for season two of this show, he is turning the mine over for the summer to his grandson, who is 17. And his grandson basically comes in, and he's obviously spent time there and learned how to do things from his grandfather. But he comes in and tries to run the mine and run the crew that's there and everything. And he's clearly the most reasonable of all of the other people on this show. The 17-year-old. Like, he knows best what he's doing. He doesn't seem to have as many, like, malfunctions with the equipment.
He's not always making the exact wrong decision.
Right. I mean, he does come in at a time where the mine is not doing very well, and so he's not super successful.
Uh-huh.
But he knows, like, when to stop digging in a certain place because there's no gold there. and, like, he really seems to, like, know what he's doing for the most part. So, his name is Parker Schnabel. And
that's a great name.
Right? And so, Grandfather Schnabel sort of hangs around and, like, helps him out and stuff. And this 90-whatever-year-old man is, like, still operating heavy equipment and, like, helping this guy, like, helping his 17-year-old grandson, like, build a road and stuff. So, we have taken to calling the baby Schnabel because it's like the funniest word I've ever heard.
Do you call it baby Schnabel or just Schnabel?
I call it Schnabel, baby Schnabel, Schnabel bear, Schnabel bunny.
So this kind of goes back to our pet names thing.
Yes. Yeah. But it's kind of a ridiculous thing to say in front of other people. Like, if you forget and you're in public and you say, oh, I'm eating for two and Schnabel wants SpaghettiOs. kind of a ridiculous thing to say. So
yeah, so are you in that situation a lot?
Well, not frequently, but I guess anyone who listens to our podcast now knows that I am calling the baby a really ridiculous name.
And you're not just, like, speaking about yourself in some kind of weird third-person name.
Right, I'm like, Schnabel's hungry.
Schnabel wants... whatever it was that you said.
SpaghettiOs!
Yeah.
So that was kind of a really long story just to tell you what we're calling the baby. But I did want to talk about...
I mean, that's not going to be the actual baby name, right?
No.
It's just sort of the cute name you came up with
yeah.
before you, like, find out what the sex is or whatever.
Yes.